and find your place there, and then you can find your place in Acts chapter 6. Now, I did not put a lapel mic on tonight, Brother Nathan. I forgot, so we'll just go with the pulpit. I'll try to behave myself and stay put and stay right here. But would you find your place there? And first Timothy chapter 3, but then also can you mark your place in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 3. You can use a bulletin, an offering envelope, something of that nature. Hold your place there. First Timothy 3 and then Acts chapter 6. Tonight we're going to be speaking on the subject of New Testament deacons. It's that time of year. Well, we have one of our deacons rotating off. That's what we have scheduled anyway. That all depends on how things proceed in this process of selecting a deacon from out the congregation. Of course, not only do they have to be qualified, but then they also have to be willing. You know, there are men that at times they just don't feel led at the time to be a deacon. And in that case, the one that was rotating off would continue serving. But I do believe it's important for us as a church to review the qualifications and characteristics of the New Testament deacon. I do have the copy of my message tonight. I do have a copy in the foyer. I would encourage you to get a copy as you head out tonight just to be looking at these, because I believe we got kind of knocked off our schedule a little bit with the inclement weather past couple weeks. We're going to move our business meeting to March 1st, the first Sunday of March. We'll plan on doing that. So that's coming up. It'll be here before we know it. But we'll be planning on that. And in the meantime, I'd like to take at least tonight. I won't be able to cover everything, of course, but I do want for us to look and see what the Lord desires for His church to do concerning selecting deacons. All right, so you got your place there. Let's look first at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. And you have, before I dive in here, again, just want to thank the Lord for you folks being faithful this evening. And also so many guests. I don't want to start naming names of all the Reynolds family that are here tonight. But it is good to see y'all. I don't want to leave anybody out. But thank you for being here. And what a wonderful occasion to celebrate. Little Nate to be here with us any time now. How many weeks do we got left as far as due date? 3 weeks. Wow. All right. Getting close. We're getting close. We're all getting excited for you, and thank the Lord for you. All right, Acts chapter 6, it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." So what you got here, again, Pentecost has taken place. It's a great move of God taking place in Jerusalem. People are just being saved by the thousands. People are coming to Christ. It's amazing. But what happened all of a sudden is you had a bunch of people in need and you only had these 11 apostles. You had these apostles that were trying to give great attention to the word and to prayer, but then they couldn't do it. And they weren't able to reach all the widows in need and the other things that were just hanging over their heads. And so they had to come up with a plan, and they were led by the Holy Spirit to select deacons. And that's what we are going to see here. Notice it says, their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called, I said 11, excuse me, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." The apostles talking about whom they may appoint. But the people, the congregation, were to look across the multitudes and to recommend these ones that they noticed that had that type of testimony. But then verse 4, "But we," speaking the apostles, "we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So verse 5, there was unity. It said the saying pleased the whole multitude. Now you know it's a work of God when the whole church is together on this. They were all pleased. That's a miracle to please everybody. It's the work of God. That's not easily done, especially in a Baptist church. But nevertheless, the Lord is able. Amen. He's able to unify us and give us wisdom and guidance. And they started selecting these ones. The first one you see there is Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to go through and name these others. But that was what the first selection of the deacons for the church. Now, as we look at this and understand that, there's also qualifications given for the deacon. And that is found over in 1 Timothy. If you'll go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, it gives the qualification first in chapter 3 of the bishop. Now, remember, you know in your Bible there are two offices that are mentioned in the New Testament for the local church. What are the two offices? The first one is pastor or bishop or overseer. He's an under-shepherd. And then what is the second office? Deacon. Those are the two that have been ordained by God for the health and leadership and service to the local church. And we believe that. We believe that here. We seek to practice that. And so the first part is given the qualifications of the bishop. Again, that word is used also elder, overseer. It's used interchangeably there throughout the New Testament. But that's who it's talking about, the pastor. Now, there are about 22 qualifications for the under-shepherd, the elder, the pastor, and there are about 11 qualifications for the deacon when you combine them all together and you put them side by side. But they're all, the qualifications are really, I think, serious and important to note for good reason. These are men that are going to be trusted with handling finances. They're going to be trusted. They're going to be counseling people when it comes to salvation and things of that nature. It's going to be men that the pastor's going to trust to help meet some miscellaneous and perhaps menial tasks of the local church assembly. It's important that they meet these qualifications. So let's look at them. We're not going to start with the pastor. We'll start with the deacons in verse 8. You notice it says, likewise. In other words, these are the qualifications. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. And that's very important. That's central to the process of selecting a deacon. It can't be a novice or somebody the church doesn't know. It's got to be somebody that's lived out their Christianity for a certain period of time. But it says here, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now, we've discussed that. That's not perfection, but it is above reproach. Then it goes on to say, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. It gives qualifications for the deacon's wife. Then verse 12, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this group that's gathered tonight. Lord, we confess, and I certainly do, I can't teach the Word of God without the power and filling of your Spirit. So, Lord, I just want to yield afresh. Fill me, Lord. Use me tonight and help your dear people, my brothers and sisters, Lord, that are gathered. I pray their hearts would be tender, and I pray we would all just be bathed in the Word tonight, and our hearts would be cleansed, and our hearts would be strengthened, and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, a deacon is the office of a servant. That is the true core sense of the office of a deacon. It is an office. And that's why I believe there are qualifications, because it is an important place in the health of the church. But the way I define it, the deacon is the office of a servant in the local church that functions as an extension. Now get this, as an extension of the pastor's heart, hands, and mind, and the practical needs of helping minister to the needs of the flock. The pastor is not to be a one-man show. The apostles couldn't possibly meet all the needs of the widows and the other tasks that were going on. And they said, we got to do something. So they appointed those seven there, and Stephen and on, to help with that. And God blessed in a great way. These here are important for us to realize that what are really the qualifications? Well, I'm sure they've been listed in different ways, but I'm going to tell you the way I listed them. I have eight total and have tried to summarize to some degree, but these are some things we're looking for in a deacon in our local church. Number one, they just simply need to be serving. Are they currently serving in the local church? I mean, that's the obvious, right? You look around and do they come to church? Are they there to serve when called upon and when they're needed, even without asking? I think that's important. These people, that when they looked out among them, they said, I can go back to Acts chapter 6, and boy, oh yeah, yeah, Stephen, he's faithful, full of faith, man, he's full of the Holy Spirit. What about Philip? What about Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas and others? Yeah, you know, yeah, them. See, the church was aware of these guys. They just had built a reputation in the church that, man, they were just servants. And it was for the serving of tables. And people, here's another thing too, they were known for their humility. Think about what they had to do, you know. I mean, I'm not saying these Grecian widows were complaining, but they were complaining. They were mad. And so you got to have somebody that's humble. They lower themselves. They're not easily offended or easily insulted. They're just saying, hey, I'm here to serve. And what I've learned, and I have, I should, let me rephrase that. What I am learning, I hadn't learned. What I am learning is that servants do not have expectations. We as servants, we serve for the glory of God. My only expectation is from the Lord Himself, who is holy and perfect and just. And so, therefore, there is a servant's heart. And deacons are to be the serving arms and hands of the under-shepherd of the congregation. The relationship between the pastor and deacon is close, but get this, I love this, it's close and complementary. The deacons and the pastors work well together. The deacons seek to relieve the pastor of certain tasks so that he can give ample time to studying the Word of God in prayer. And I can testify to all four of our deacons that they have been doing that. They have been faithful in that. I'm so very thankful. Right now, we currently have Mark Reynolds, and we have Brother Charles Henry. We have Mike Jemanski and Jake Stringer serving as deacons. And they have done such a good job on being a blessing to me and to you all. I believe that, and just doing things behind the scenes and encouraging the flock. But I believe serving, which means the word deacon actually means servant. So not only serving, but number two, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do that, is not only serving, daily distribution, ministration, serving tables, but it's spirit-filled men. Spirit-filled men. We noticed in Acts chapter 6 that the apostle says, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So there you go. There were three right there. Look out among you seven men of honest report. They had a testimony of being honest. They were full of the Holy Spirit, and they had wisdom. These deacons were selected because they were proven to be spirit-filled men. The deacons were selected based upon their testimony of integrity and faithfulness to the Word of God and the local church. You know, I'm telling you, what we do here, folks, and I know you know this, but this is supernatural work that the local church does. We're in a real war with evil. And Satan is seeking to wreak havoc. The world is trying to confuse and destroy the home and the trying to contaminate the church that the culture is today. There's so many things beating on the door of the local church, trying to rob the minds of God's people. And we need some Spirit-filled men with some Spirit-filled wives that help serve the local flock through their example, through their compassion and their concern, their desire to come alongside and walk with people and love people and serve people. And that is so very important. Spirit-filled men, led of the Holy Ghost, truly sensitive to His leading. But then, number three, we see the Bible talks about being serious-minded. Now, if you go back over to 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, likewise must the deacons be grave. And that's an old English word for being serious-minded, but also, you know, a respectable person. One who could be, you could say it this way, one who was to be taken seriously. One who was worthy to be respected, had gained that testimony. And in the Lord's work, a leader's moral character and his public reputation are essential to accomplishing the task. And so what I believe he's saying here, when it says someone that's grave, he's talking about just respectable individual that is so important. But then number four, we not only see serious-minded, but number four, we see sound speech. Notice it says, the deacons must be grave and not double-tongued. All right? What does not double-tongued mean? It means to be consistent. It means to say one thing to someone, not to do this. To be double-tongued is to say one thing to someone and something different to another. And two different stories, and it causes confusion, and it's not that way. No, what they say is this consistent what I said to you behind in another context and to you in another one? It's not two different messages being given or two different testimonies. You know, I believe it was Adrian Rogers that may have said that, the charismatics teach that the sign of being filled with the Spirit is speaking in tongues. Well, I like what Adrian Rogers said. He says, no, in fact, I think it's clear in Scripture that the sign of being filled with the Spirit is the tongue you have being under control of the Holy Ghost. And there's a lot of truth to that. Just someone that their speech is truly consistent. It's clean. It's honoring. And so that is important when it comes to the idea of not being double-tongued. Now, number five, number five that I have here is actually also for the deacon to be sober. The deacon to be sober. Notice right here it says, not given to much wine. Now, there's a lot of controversy around this verse, but I don't think it has to be. I don't think it has to be at all. I think what it's talking about here is I think a deacon is not to be distracted or to be under the influence, or to be controlled by intoxicating drink. Okay? Now, I believe that the Scriptures are clear that alcohol was used, I believe, in a right way, medicinally, for medicine. And also, I believe it was used often for purification. That I just believe that's clear, because they didn't have the preserving elements that we have and the purifying elements we have. Like a lot of you have a filter in your home for your water and the Brita or whatever. You can buy bottled water. They didn't have that. They used fermentation. The portion of it, the ratio was pretty wide of the fermentation to a water to kill the bacteria. And it was used in that way. So when it comes, I believe, to the deacon, he's not to be intoxicated by strong drink and the wine that would be something he would be addicted to, that would control his life. Now, again, you have to be clear here in Scripture. The wine is a strong drink. Wine is a mockery. Strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And so, again, I would say this very clearly, and this is a hill I'd be willing to die on. I believe the safest and the most wisest choice for the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ is complete abstinence. I stand strongly on that. I believe the safest and the wisest. Now, are there believers out there that love God who drink in moderation? Perhaps. I'm not going to sit here and be their judge. I'm just telling you the Scriptures are clear, especially, and I'm going to take it to another level, especially for pastors and deacons. You know, how can a pastor or a deacon help someone in the church that's struggling with alcohol when they drink themselves? I don't see how I see it as a possible stumbling block. And so I believe that it is necessary for us, again, to be very wise on that and understand it. And this is another one of my philosophies. And again, I'm not mad at people that drink. I'm not angry about that. I'm just saying, man, as a pastor's heart, I've seen many of my pastoral friends and heard of them that have taken a different route, and it's ruined their testimony because they thought they could handle it. And you hear the news of it and the different things. And I just believe, church, we got to be guarded. We got to be vigilant. And especially when it comes to selecting the leaders, servant leaders in the local assembly. I heard of one pastor who was well known. And he even said, look, even your pastor takes a little drink from time to time. And almost kind of laughed it off. And man, that really just broke my heart at the time, because I'm like, oh man, the people are looking to him for an example of being sober-minded and striving for clarity and spirit-filledness. And then it wasn't long after that, maybe a few 6 months, it had been found out that he had got addicted to drinking. I'm not judging him, but I'm telling you, it happens too easily and too often. So let's be careful. Let's be guarded. I believe that the best case is the only thing that the Christian needs to be intoxicated with or under the influence of is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because we know that He's not going to lead us to do anything stupid. He's not going to lead us to do anything that we're going to regret. He's going to lead us to do that which glorifies Jesus Christ and keeps us on the straight and narrow path. Amen? All right, I know the Super Bowl crowd and all the beer advertisements and everything, they make all light of it and it's all fun and games, but we all know, we see through that. It's serious. People are destroyed so easily. So again, I think it's important that we take note of that. Not only sober, but let me close with this one. We still got a couple more, but tonight I'm going to close. Not only that, but we need to be the deacon needs to be satisfied. I'm using all S's alliteration. You'll forgive me for anyone that annoys, but we're going to use the sixth point here is satisfied. Notice what it says. In our list of qualifications, it says must be deacons be grave, not double tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Now, what does this mean? Well, it just means this person is not greedy of dishonest gain. It doesn't mean that it's not talking about a businessman who just does well in business and makes money. That's not who he's talking about. It's talking about even, it goes a whole nother level of somebody that basically is greedy to the point of being dishonest. And their character is flawed for the purpose of ripping people off and just getting ahead, even being willing to cheat the system. And boy, that's dangerous. Paul warns against installing anyone for being deceptive, cutting moral corners, or obsessing over money. Why? Because our deacons are directly involved in counting money that the church people are giving. they count it up, and they are responsible for overseeing the deposits and making sure they get where they need to. And also, as we talk about finances for the church and what God's doing here in our church, and whether it be a building program or a special need in the church, you need these men to be think about that they handle money well, being led of the Holy Spirit, not a money-obsessed person. They can't be qualified to serve in the church. And by the way, the antidote for the love of money is contentment. That's where I get the word satisfied. People who are trying and eager to get rich and to get rich quick, the Bible says they fall into a trap and are destroyed. So these men are entrusted in that way. So I got a couple more here. They are on the sheet in the foyer. If you want to get those, I'll speak on those another time. But as we move forward, be thinking about it. And what you can do, church, is submit your recommendation, and that's all it is, to one of the deacons now. That's the best way to do that. You can text it to them. You can tell it to them here in church. You got a couple weeks to do that. I encourage you to pray about it first. Don't be impulsive with that. But again, it's just going to be one name. The church people will put forth, each member can put forth one name, because that's the one position we are going to fill. And that's the best approach to do that, I believe. And all those names will be considered by myself and the deacons together. And so we'll be looking forward to that. Again, Mike Jemanski is rotating off. And so the real reason I say this is because we have said in our constitution that a deacon can't serve continuously unless he's the only qualified, but can't serve consecutively, after he's served a 2-year term. So he has to take a year off. Okay? So Dan Bachman, for instance, took a year off last year. So now he's eligible again. He would be eligible again if he wanted to serve. But you understand how our Constitution has stated that. And so we just getting started over in the past couple of years. Just wanted to share that with you. But again, church, aren't we thankful for the deacons of this church? They're servant-hearted men. They love the Lord and grateful for how God has blessed us in that way. And I believe there'll be more and more deacons that come up through the church congregation over the years. And I'm just thankful for how God is just growing His church and helping us to do His will. Well, amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer.